In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Do we hear a sense of resignation, impatience, and uncertainty in John's probing inquiry of Jesus and his ministry? Unlike the wilderness setting of last Sunday's gospel, where we saw John preaching and baptizing, in today's reading we see John in Herod's prison, a dank and dark place, fettered in chain. In last week's reading, we heard John calling people to repentance, asking soldiers to not extort the vulnerable, and calling the Pharisees and Sadducees who came to him as brood of vipers. He was a confident, no-nonsense, fire and brimstone preacher last week. Whereas today we see John pacing back and forth in his prison cell, watching, waiting for his execution, and wondering whether his life of ministry of introducing Jesus was a fool's errand. Doubts arose, hopes dashed, and disappointed with himself about his ministry, John sent one of his disciples to Jesus with this question: are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? A failure of confidence and certainty. Have we ever experienced a failure of confidence in our own lives? Kind of like John the Baptist was experiencing when he sent his disciple over to Jesus. Many a times in my life, I was dealt with this sinking feeling that everything around me was all of a sudden gave way. When you are in that kind of space, you are no longer motivated to act, no longer hopeful about things to come. Your convictions and your strongly held beliefs have given way to doubts and uncertainties. I remember during the years I was building up my insurance business in New England, whenever I hit a bump on the road, like losing an important client, I would get so disappointed to the point that of calling it quit. When I failed two of my general ordination exams, I felt that my call to ministry was not real, and I doubted my call and questioned my sense of worth. One might be wondering what this reading about John and his doubts have anything to do with the season of Advent, season of waiting for the little baby Jesus in Bethlehem. Isn't it the season when people frantically planning, getting ready for the celebration of Christmas with family and friends? However, let us also not forget the fact that this is the time of the year when people walk around with lots of fear and doubt. It is this time of the year physicians, psychologists, and pastors report an increase in requests for counseling, and mental health facilities record a rise in admissions, and suicides peak. Remember, it was over a year ago this week we witnessed the horrific school shooting by a depressed young man. When things don't go the way we had planned or hoped for, we get disappointed. We feel let down, ashamed, guilty. We question ourselves of what happened, and we blame ourselves for the failure. Sometimes we put a brave face or wear a mask to avoid being seen as a failure. We deny the darkness of the season and our spirits by adding candles to the wreath or presents under the tree. But what is the reality of our world? What is the really reality of our life situation today? You know, today, as we speak now, Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, is under occupation. Movements of its citizens are restricted. In our country, 7% of our citizens are unemployed. 16 million children, or 22% of the children in the U.S., one out of five children in the U.S., live with families' income below federal poverty level, $23,500 for a family of four. While minimum wage remains $7.25 an hour, the income inequality in the U.S. continues to widen. This Advent, championing the cause of the poor, Pope Francis calls the leaders of the nations of the world to be mindful in their decision making. John the Baptist was not alone in his disappointment. From his prison cell, John saw what he had predicted and longed for has not arrived yet. When he proclaimed the coming of God's kingdom and announced Jesus as God's anointed, he expected the world would change. However, things still looked the same as far as John was concerned. He was still waiting for the promises to be kept. He saw John's failure of confidence should not really surprise us, should not confound us. In a way, he represents us in our own failures, our own loss of confidence, and our own disappointments. Especially at this time of the year, when our longing for peace and goodwill among all are piqued, and at the same time, woefully not realized. In John the Baptist, we see our archetype. Like John, let us come to Jesus and bring before him our doubts, our loss of confidence, and our failures. And as we do, we too realize how some of our expectations are unrealistic. Do I have the unrealistic notion that by being a child of God, somehow I am immune from suffering, immune from terminal illness, immune from unemployment, and immune from our children not turning out to be the way I hope for? I'm sure many a times in our own lives, faced with devastating losses, we have questioned the existence of God. If there is a God out there, why there is so much suffering and so much injustice? We ask, why me? Even after following proper diet, eating all the right fruits and vegetables, why am I subjected to cancer at the prime of my life? What happened to all the certainties in life? I was told that if I work hard enough, I would be rewarded. But instead of me, it was someone else who got the promotion and the raise. What happened to all the absolutes in life? Well, we need to discover and realize that all the great and small losses that threaten our lives, all the interruptions that endanger the flow of our life, are the essence of living. What was interesting and intriguing was the way Jesus responded to John's disciples. And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is he who takes no offense at me." See, what Jesus did not give John any creed, confession, or any personal statement. He simply called their attention to the deeds of his power and compassion. Jesus' description of his deeds echoes what we have read today from prophet Isaiah. His deeds of compassion should be an adequate basis for faith, even though faith has not yet seen all it expects of the promised Messiah. What caused doubt in John was this missing element of judgment in Jesus' ministry. The judgment of part of John as well as Old Testament proclamation is delayed in Jesus' ministry. Neither Judaism as a whole nor John the Baptist anticipated the arrival of the Messianic kingdom without judgment. Today is a day of grace, and God's judgment is being delayed. This caused many to stumble. Jesus tells John not to take offense at him for delaying judgment. As a church, we are involved in ministering to the vulnerable in our neighborhood and in places like Appalachia and El Salvador, just as Jesus told John's disciples as to what he was doing. People know we are Christians by our love, not by our self-righteousness or our eagerness to condemn others. We live in the new era of grace preached by Jesus. Friends, do we have what it takes to believe? Do we have what it takes to overcome our doubt and frustrations when we don't see the peaceable kingdom which Isaiah prophesied within our lifetime? In our ordinary moments, are we able to keep Advent in the spirit of hope and expectation as we wait, perhaps, bound up in the prisons of our own longings, our own notions of messiahship of power and might? Let me close with today's collect. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen.